party down. Location mysterious. Wanna rock this con like my man James Tiberius.
Jesse and Marina, they're mad clever like the Negus. Gonna guide you through the scenes, beam from London to Las Vegas. Where to go, how to dress, when to sleep, who to see. Celebs not to miss, Curtis Wong and SMG. Star Trek into awesome, build some memories at last. Set the proper course, the Shore Leave Podcast. Boom.
Hello and welcome to Shore Leave, your Star Trek convention community podcast. My name is Jesse Okendo, and with me I have my wonderful co-host, Marina.
It's almost as if you forgot my name. We haven't
been
a long time. So this is, as Jesse said, this is Marina Kravchuk, one of your co-hosts. And we haven't recorded an episode in a while, even though the convention circuit is certainly roaring back, you know, into existence again, and is very lively and active. So we actually going to talk about a wonderful convention that just ended as of this recording, approximately 2 weeks ago, Destination Star Trek in London. And with us, we actually have a special guest, my very good friend, whom I finally actually met in person at Destination at that point, Rashid Ozaman. Rashid, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you, Marina. Hello, everybody. Yes, thank you very much for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
So since this is your first time on Shore Leave, do you mind basically introducing yourself in terms of when did you become a Star Trek fan? Well, how long have you been a Star Trek fan? And what brought you to basically attending conventions? You know, what is your experience with the conventions, Star Trek or otherwise?
I see, right. Well, I've been a Star Trek fan for well over 30 years now. I started watching The Next Generation, like on VHS tapes. Those times ago, basically, you know, and I just became completely hooked on it. And I've watched every Star Trek since then, since Next Generation onwards, really. And I've been like, love Star Trek is a huge part of my life. And I only started went to my first convention was back in 2018 at Destination Star Trek in Birmingham, celebrating DS9's 25th anniversary. So I love all Trek, but DS9 is just my favorite. But also, it's my most favorite one. So I really wanted to go, but I've never been to one before. I was really nervous about going, but luckily I joined a Twitter group who are going as well. And it made it a bit easier for me to go, actually, feel more comfortable going. Now that I knew people from Twitter are going to be there as well. So I went there and had one of the best weekends of my life. I went to the DS9 documentary with all the cast were there as well. And I'd never seen the cast before. So I'm blown away seeing the cast right next to me, right sitting in front of me, you know, and talking to us afterwards as well. It was a surreal experience. So this is Star Trek that's happened in London 2 weeks ago. It's my third convention. So I've been now to three now. And it's been like the most incredible weekend, mixing with other Trekkies, talking Star Trek, just my kind of people. I'm a proper geek myself. So it's just fantastic. I just had the most incredible weekend, especially after what happened last year with COVID. So It's just wonderful to see everyone and have such a good weekend, you know?
Yeah, that's actually that. This is a topic that keeps repeating, regardless which convention we're talking about. You know, whether we're talking specifically Trek, so you know, the Star Trek Las Vegas or Destination or general conventions like New York Comic Con or anything else. People are so starved for the convention experience, specifically, you know, meeting up with other folks and just you know, chatting, making new friends, you know, doing everything.
Yeah, that for me, like the conventions are just a safe space anytime I'm gone, and I can tell, like, because I'm gonna go on a trip here in a couple of weeks, and it's not with Star Trek people, and it'll be like probably my first vacation in like 8 years that it's not Star Trek related. I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna get along with these people or not. And I haven't felt that way in a long time, and it's definitely because of all the Star Trek conventions I've been to.
it's wonderful to see this sort of thing coming back again. I see this as a repeating theme. I do have to admit that it felt stronger at Destination, that it was really the people who made the event, and we'll get into like all the nitty-gritty in a little bit for various reasons, but it was primarily folks really getting together, especially my understanding that there's very limited opportunities for conventions in UK. I mean, there's only there's London Film and Comic Con, there's Wales Comic Con, you know, probably some smaller conventions here and there. It's not with, you know, like Brits are not as spoiled as we are on this side of the Atlantic.
No, unfortunately not. Us Brits are not as lucky as you lot over there. Over the pond, so to speak.
I started to basically go through, you know, what's happening right now as part of this little list of events that I normally keep. And at the moment, even though we're not full, you know, back to full power, so to speak, on the convention circuit in the United States, there is literally, on average, anywhere between 10 to 15 events already happening every weekend for the past couple of months, which it's mind blowing. Yeah. I mean, this is across the different genres. This is not specifically, it's not even necessarily straight on Comic-Con. Some of these are just signing events. Some are small anime conventions. Some are, you know, it's a little bit of everything, but it's staggering. So, you know, again, we'll start talking about, you know, the location and everything else that we experienced at destination, but it felt like, you know, it was primarily, you know, all the little bits that didn't necessarily work out, you know, but people were just happy to see each other, spend some time together. I mean, I saw so many folks sitting outside of the hall just chatting, you know, they weren't even necessarily queuing or doing photo ops. They were just talking to each other. So that was a lovely thing to see.
It was fabulous. I think seeing each other again after 2 years was such a special experience, just to catch up, just to talk. I think people are more excited just to see each other again, you know, mm-hmm. friends.
Exactly, yeah.
Oversee the Star Trek actors, which is beautiful, because after, all of us love conventions, but obviously a big part of it is actually seeing our friends again, catching up, you know, what's happened before, in the past year. And it just made it more extra special, I think, this year, because after the year that's gone, last year was such a washout. So I was supposed to go to Destination Star Trek in Germany and London last year. I booked to go to both of them, I think, like you as well, Marina. And and it's like, when it didn't happen, we're like so, couldn't wait for the next one. So when this one came along, we were so, so glad to see each other again and seeing other Trekkies for the first time as well, which is like amazing, Marina, as well. And
yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a bummer that we never bumped into each other in 2018, because, you know, that was my first destination. This was your first convention overall, you know, but who knew?
That's the one I went to, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. We were all there.
Oh my God, you were there. That's amazing. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Marina and I had it was like the 50th anniversary, and like, there were conventions everywhere back then, and I just went to every single one that I could find. I was trying to beat Marina, but she still beat me.
So something that I wanted to bring up, because I've noticed, again, it seems to be sort of like a thread that seems to run through every convention. I mean, Destination was my fifth event since summer, and the last one for the year, as a matter of fact. I mean, my next thing is going to be the cruise next year. But I've noticed the same thing, and, you know, those folks attending other Comic-Cons kind of mentioned the same. A lot of times you're planning and everybody's so thrilled, but at the same time, there is this huge uncertainty. A lot of conventions, you know, how's it going to go? You know, what changes are going to be? How the health policies are going to work out? Are they doing something different with the way they handle the crowds? They being the organizers of whichever event. It seems to be like, I mean, obviously we're talking about different sizes. You know, you wouldn't mm-hmm. compare Destination to, say, New York Comic Con. It's much different in size. But it's the same uncertainty. So in this case, we were going into Destination. First of all, we have a different location. I mean, this is the location Destination was held in originally, way back in 2012. But at the same time, it's like, well, how's it going to work out now after that many years in Birmingham? Now, you and I actually have probably sort of a different viewpoint on as far as getting there, because obviously I'm coming in internationally, whereas you're fairly local to the location. So, but yeah, for you,
about 30 minutes away from the location.
So for you, you know, between this and Birmingham, I'm assuming London was more convenient, right?
Absolutely was, but actually Birmingham was better because it was more bigger. We had more guests. Obviously, this time around, the venue's much more smaller. Like in Birmingham, mm-hmm. It's more huge. It's like four photograph opportunities, photo A, B, C, and D. This was just A and B here, for example, mm-hmm. just two photo ops. And it just seemed much more smaller and very hot and stuffy. I remember I had to come out a few times just to get some air because it's so hot and stuffy in there as well, you know?
Yeah.
And regarding health and safety, obviously a lot of people wore masks, a lot of people didn't wear masks. So obviously we kept a distance from other people that we weren't familiar with. So it was a different experience altogether, but for me, it was great. Even though I live in London, I lived about 30 minutes away, I still came up to the hotel, staying at the hotel for 3 nights because I wanted to be near the venue, basically. So same mm-hmm. driving home every night. But it was still fantastic. I loved it. But I would say definitely enjoyed Birmingham more. I went to Birmingham in 2018 and 2019, 2 years in a row I went to Birmingham. then obviously this is my first time in London, but it's still superb. I really enjoyed it, Marina, very much so.
Yeah, no, it is something just to actually, interestingly enough, this is something that I keep seeing repeated. I've seen it in the fan groups on Facebook. I've seen it mentioned in on Twitter. A lot of, well, obviously local folks, we're much more in favor of Birmingham because it's more central. So where are you coming from up north? Where are you coming from? Mm-hmm. From London? It made sense. So it was internationally, my original thought was, well, I've been to London many times, you know, yep. I will not get lost in Heathrow. so it seemed like, okay, it makes sense for international arrivals, but, and here's the but, considering that it's, you know, you say your destination Star Trek London, a lot of people, of course, start thinking about all the major landmarks and the stuff that you generally find in Zone 1 or Zone 2, yeah, so meaning the central, absolutely, London. This is not where the convention was held. This was out in Docklands. So, you know, if you arrive into Heathrow, suppose, and you take Heathrow Express to Paddington Station, from Paddington to that stop, final stop, all the way out in Docklands, it's another 45 to 50 minutes of travel on the tube. So this is not actually turned out to be as convenient as I, not so much originally like planned. It's like, I, for some reason, I imagined it's going to be a bit better. But realistically, the only positive thing is that I didn't have a layover because I don't have direct flights to Birmingham. I had to have a layover somewhere, which in my case was with Dublin. In this case, at least it was a direct flight, but then you still have additional steps to go through if you're coming in as an international attendee.
I totally understand, yeah. Do you find it easier to Birmingham? Obviously, you prefer going to Birmingham, or do you think of the London venue this time, Marina? What do
you think? You know, Birmingham was a very last moment trip for me. So at the time, it was very hectic because I was literally rushing to get the tickets, to get everything ready. Right. It was easier to travel because obviously no pandemic. So all the additional things that we now have to do were not in existence. So for those who have not traveled internationally yet, especially coming into UK, so there was additional paperwork that had to be done. As an international traveler, you have to do this thing that's called passenger locator form. So you fill out everything, you know, where you're going to be staying, you know, when are you arriving. So a lot of the information that seems like, well, it kind of makes sense. But the thing is that before, if you have a US passport, you literally, you just get in the country, fill out, you know, the thing, you know, like the declaration form, if you have something to declare, and you're done. But, you know, now you have to do this, which incidentally, considering that you have to prove that you have been vaccinated, means that you cannot actually get a boarding pass beforehand. You actually have to do that in the airport. So that was another thing where my sister and I actually budgeted like 3 hours in case we get stuck somewhere in security or anything else. And it turned out to be just a gentleman coming up to a kiosk, checking our vaccination cards, pressing the button, kiosk spitting out the boarding pass, and off we went. My sister and I actually got very lucky because we were so early in the airport. We literally had ended up with like 2.5 hours before our flight.
Wow.
It's like nothing to do. So we went to like, well, let's check out where, you know, where our gate is. And we show up and there's the flight that's leaving for London right before us. And I was like, well, it never hurts to ask. We'll go up and like, do you have any empty spots? I mean, the planes are not always full, especially now.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what happened. We actually got seated. We left 3 hours earlier. We landed, you know, with the previous flight. so, which made it fun because my very good friend Amy was traveling on that flight. And so we were like, great, we're having fun. You know,
that's great.
so that's one thing. And of course, with vaccinations, again, as part of the travel, once you get to UK, you have to do a day 2 test. So before the end of your second day presence in UK, you have to go. And thankfully, we got lucky. End of October, they changed the rules. Before that, you had to have a PCR test. And then after, I think, August 24th or 25th, they said it could be just a lateral flow antigen test. So, which is much, much more affordable, first of all. And obviously, you know, it's the tickling one rather than the one where they put the stuff up to your brain.
Yeah.
So overall, yeah, Birmingham feels like, well, that was easy, but it's partly because of all these additional things that you had to take care of, you know, before or during that normally, like you wouldn't even think about it. And of course, coming back, same thing in the case of my sister and I, because we were coming strictly for the convention, we were there literally for like 3 days, 3.5 days. We had an overlap in time because to come back to United States, you have to have a negative test taken within 3 days of travel. So we only ended up doing one test, which was it would fulfill the second day requirement for UK and the 3 day requirement for US.
Oh, you found the sweet spot.
Yes, we found it. That's precisely it. It was Friday morning, and we were done. And the lovely, it's just like it's very similar to the way it is in US. It's like a lot of places, pharmacies or certain clinics now offer this as a additional service. You know, like just make the reservation, come in, we'll do the COVID test for you, and we'll even report it to, you know, whichever health authority that deals with this sort of thing in UK. So it was an additional thing to consider. And as Rashid already mentioned, once we actually get to the convention, yes, the requirement was you either had to have a negative test or show the vaccination card or its equivalent, whichever country you were coming from. So that part was something to point out, incidentally. The policy was not originating with the host of the convention, which I found surprising, because obviously, you know, everybody has to follow the requirements of health authorities in the country. So it's like whatever the country or the state or the municipality that are mandating. And fortunately, as we know, UK technically does not have any mandates. So this particular requirement was coming straight from London itself, the convention center. How I found out about it, I reached out to the showmasters, massive events, to find out, because I had a question about the vaccination card. The way they were describing it was a little bit vague. And they said, well, you know, you want some specifics, you actually have to reach out to these guys, because this is where the policy is coming from. So that was a curious thing, you know, whereas pretty much every other host was putting together the policy. In this case, it was verbatim copied from whatever the convention center was required. It's a little bit backwards, I suppose. But that was done. It was checked very quickly. I don't think the staff of the Excel itself, they must have had, I don't know what, at any given time, 5-6 people standing in the entrances. So the actual check as you get inside the doors was done very quickly. I haven't seen even once, you know, any large queues forming or anything. People just got in, and we weren't the only folks in the center. Rashid, you were there all 3 days, right?
I was, yes. I checked in Thursday night.
Yeah, you've noticed that there was a veterinarian convention happening a couple of halls over. There was something to do with, like, there were like other trade shows happening simultaneously with destination. So it's like not once did I see that there would be any kind of like traffic because people are, you know, pulling out their cards or their NHS passports or whatever to get in the doors. It was done very, very quickly by the convention center staff.
There was hardly any queues as well. We got in quite quickly as well, which is nice compared to last time. It's like long queues to go in, wasn't it? So this time was much more comfortable. It was quite good, actually, yeah.
How was it laid out, Marina? Like, I remember, you know, when we went in Birmingham, they were, like, it was just like one big space. Yeah.
That's exactly what they did. If you remember, you and I discussed this because you didn't get to do any panels, and I actually ended up doing at least one panel in each of the theaters. Mm-hmm. So at the time, you know, you start comparing it, and I suppose this is a point of slight contention, I suppose, for those who have done other events elsewhere. You kind of start to get used to certain things, and then you kind of wonder, well, why is it not being done the same way? Because it's not exactly, it's pretty much a standard, like, if you think about it. The production values of destination, and I have to be very blunt, are not very high compared to pretty much even the standard Comic-Con anywhere. It was still the same thing. Rashid already mentioned it, everything was smaller. And that's actually true of every convention so far. Like, everything is smaller. The crowds are smaller. The spaces are smaller. You have a little bit less happening, you know, like in terms of vendors attending, for example. And it's all pretty much, I'm going to say like 100% of it is probably primarily due to pandemic. You have to deal with the parameters of what's happening globally. But everything else, you know, at the time I was somewhat unpleasantly surprised about, for example, the sound, the acoustics, and the lights in the main, the equivalent of main theater, the Enterprise stage. And I again, I have to be very honest, this year was sort of like, hold my beer because it was even worse.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. It's so basically they have, it's a smaller space, but the layout was the same in the sense that you had the stages in three corners. Mm-hmm. Two of the stages had large black curtains around them. It's quite it's something I don't know actually, Rashid. I don't know if they ever had this. Maybe they had it in 2019. A lot of conventions try to sort of create usually a spot where people can take a breather, you know, like when you're overstimulated by the sound or the crowds or the constant noise of the people chattering and everything. DST does not seem to have this at all. Instead, you have this one space where you have literally this wall of sound traveling and bouncing back, you know, between all the walls. You know, we were in, panel this was. It was one of the panels that I went to on Enterprise stage. You can literally hear neighboring Excelsior stage, you know, people exploding in laughter because somebody was joking on stage and is drowning out whoever's speaking on the main stage of the Enterprise. So this part is probably the lowest point or one of the low points of the experience where, you know, you kind of look at it and it's like, how is it possible that you have a stage, which I understand we're still in the metal and concrete box of a, you know, an expo center. Let's face it. I mean, it's you change it to whatever the requirements of your trade show, a conference or a convention. But at the same time, picture, you know, a large area where you have plain, you know, chairs, just, you know, kind of tight to each other. A smallish stage, sort of like it's not very big. I mean, in no way you can compare it to the cruise or the STLV. And you have literally four lights on each side. There are four lights. There are four lights, so total eight on each side of the stage. And that's all the lighting that you have. So there's no overhead lights. There's not even like emergency lights, I think. All you have above you is just ductwork and conduits painted black. And it's like you're sitting in the cave. So in that regard, I have to agree with Rashid. Birmingham had a better thing going, even though, again, at the time, I was a little bit taken aback at how unsophisticated it seemed. So, Rashid, did you do a lot of panels this time around, or did you concentrate on just, you know, meeting up with friends and doing like photo ops or something?
What I mainly do is I did quite a lot of photographs with quite a few of the actors, and also meeting with lots of friends as well. But I didn't do many. I didn't do any. Went to the Voyager's 25th anniversary talk. I went to that talk, and I went to watch the obviously the Prodigy showing as well. Went to that, but I took photographs mainly with the DS, not the Voyager cast. I took pictures with, obviously, with the Discovery cast as well. And that's what I did mainly. And David Ayala, I took a picture with him, and he actually knew me. He said, "You're Rashid, right?" I said, "I couldn't believe he actually recognized me."
Oh, that's nice.
That's delightful.
I was like, for a second, I thought, "You know me?" Yeah, I know you. Yeah, I'm saying, I know you from Twitter. Thanks for your support for the show. I thought, like, my God, thank you so much. You made such a great deal to me.
I was awesome. Yeah.
David Ayala knows me, who plays Book in Discovery. It's like, wow. I was like, so happy.
Oh, that is just delightful. That's the sort of experience that I have to say. I had the similar moments at DST when I was like, well, isn't that curious how you have, you know, like the overall organization may suffer, but it was meeting up with friends, A, and the second one, the guests being absolute sweethearts, because they pulled more than probably was expected with like all the little chats that they were doing and all the panels. A lot of them were doing actually multiple panels, unlike you know, a general convention setup. You normally have, you know, one, maybe two appearances during the weekend. Here we had some of the cast members doing, you know, three, four appearances during the weekend, which is very unusual. I mean, there weren't that many guests overall. I think Rashid helped me out. There's probably about 25, 26, something like that.
Compared to other conventions, but was much less compared to Birmingham 2 years ago, put it that way, much less.
Something that I forgot to touch upon, again, as Rashid mentioned, the whole thing was smaller, and that actually extended to pretty much, I'm gonna say, everything. Yes, there were only two photo op booths, which for the most part worked, but Saturday did get very unpleasant a couple of times because there was a problem of overcrowding. The way they placed it was you had photo op booth A on the left, then you had a little area that had the Voyager bridge, which also was holding photo ops. And then you had photo booth B. And so people were trying to kind of like the staff was trying to arrange people in this snaking arrangement. And at some point, it was just getting so big. It was like, oh, okay, who's having the photo op right now? Where's the end of the queue? And there's an additional element here is that normally it's you just show up at any convention. You just show up at the time of your photo op and you line up. Here, you also have an additional factor of what tier you are. If you're captain's tier, you know, your ticket package, if you're a captain, if you're a commander, lieutenant, you actually go to the front of the queue. So you have like this additional mini queues happening in front of the main queue. So it was getting a little bit overwhelming. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Especially on the Saturday. Yeah, it was like very disorganized. Obviously, I was in batch one for all my photos. I didn't have a commander or a captain or lieutenant package, basically. But still, it wasn't the best organized. And especially the one at the Voyager Bridge in the middle as well, when there were people lining up there as well, it would become a bit confusing at some stages, you know? Like, who's in which line? Which line is, like, going for photo B, which was photo A, which is for the Voyager Bridge. But it was a bit chaotic at times, especially on Saturday, basically. But I think that could have been organized a bit better, you know?
It was. They certainly could have used more space. The way they tried to push it towards like the side of this hall where the whole thing was arranged, but it's still that. And something else I noticed, the autographing, like the general area worked out okay. I mean, you had a couple of folks who had a little bit more people lining up through the weekend, but the headliners, so Kate Mulgrew and George Takei, they were all the way, like they had a separate sort of enclosed area where they were. And oh my goodness, at some point, did you notice, I think this was a mistake that had to be arranged differently. Basically, it was very close to the entrance to the hall. And once people really started to line up on Saturday and Sunday,
right,
it like literally you walk into the hall and you're like, oh, what is going on here? Because you literally have the ends of these giant lines sticking out to the entrance to the hall. So that was
That's interesting.
Yeah. I see it's difficult to say, like, could it have been arranged differently? Because this is a predictable thing. George always have a lot of folks lining up. Kate certainly. I mean, I have to. Kate was incredible. She basically carried this entire convention. She did.
She's a huge reason for Kate. If Kate, that's why he was so good. If Kate didn't come, it would have been totally different.
Yeah. This is actually, it's funny that you say that. I literally said that, I heard that repeated probably, I don't know, 20 or 30 times during that weekend, because when people realized that she did three panels. I think she had something in the order of about four or five photo op sessions through Saturday and Sunday. And of course, when she wasn't doing that, she was also autographing. Oh, and she also did, they did show the premiere episode of Prodigy. So she did like a little intro thing for each of the sessions. There were two of them. So she was everywhere. She carried was the convention.
Just remarkable. Yeah. She carried it. Fabulous. Yeah.
I loved her. You know how gracious she was in terms of the unfortunate you know, the Voyager reunion that didn't happen, the one that was promised, the one that they tried to push for, and of course it was just not happening. And the final thing, so the Voyager 25th anniversary panel was actually, it was her and Garrett, you know, as far as the main characters are concerned. And then of course you had Alice Krieger, the Borg Queen, Martha Hackett, Saska, and Fintan McKeon, who played the holographic lover.
Oh wow!
And, she joked about it. She said, like, well, you know, if you consider this, you know, like, it's my Anson, my nemesis, the traitor, and the holographic lover, and people were just dying in the audience because it's the irony. Yeah.
And I love she loves us Brits. She said, I do like the Brits. You know, she introduced the Prodigy. I love that when she said that. She said, I do like them. That's a nice touch. She was remarkable. She was fantastic. Full of energy, considering what she had to go through with all the autographs and photographs and all the talks she had to do.
I have to say that the, you know, I'm a huge fan of hers. I've seen her at a lot of conventions. Huge fan. So at this point, she recognizes
Marina.
So I have to say that the one thing that, you know, I was extremely, extremely not happy about how the whole thing was working out with the cast photo, because obviously at this point we don't have a cast photo. It's, you know, it's a little bit of a, you know, a bit of a joke to call it that way. Yeah. They had five of them on Saturday. Fintan was there only just for one day. So the cast photo on Sunday was just four of them. So Kate, Garrett, Martha, and Alice. And of course, you know, you had just generally, you know, regular photo, everybody standing in front of, we have to talk about the screen. We will get to that in a minute. But basically have the regular photo in the photo booth, and then you have the one on the bridge. And when my sister and I showed up, we were like, well, how do we do this? Because obviously you have all very limited space. As a matter of fact, as I looked, Rashid, would you agree with me? Like, how would they, if Voyager reunion actually happened, there is no way that you can fit nine cast members there, plus, you know, an additional person, a fan. It was very small.
It was very small. It would have been quite a squeeze.
Yeah, it would have been a horrible squeeze, as a matter of fact. So anyway, so Saturday, my sister and I were there. We had the tickets, which were eventually rather bigly discounted. And, you know, very, very good that it was this way, because again, this was not exactly a cast photo that everybody expected. So Kate shows up. Well, they all already seated, and we come up, and she's, you know, she recognizes it, and Garrett recognizes us, and it's like, okay, come on over, it's both of us. And so if you go to this photo shelter website, which is something that Showmasters use, where you can order JPEGs after the convention is over, yep, you can actually take a look. Ours is the only photo where I'm literally sitting in that little panel thing that opens actually on the real room. I am sitting in the middle between Kate and Garrett, whom she called down. She's like, come on over, you're gonna sit in the first officer's seat. So she's Chakotay said, and my sister is sort of like leaning at the bottom. So we're the only ones where it's like, it almost looks like a family photo, because it's all very centered. Olga and I sitting in the middle, the two of them on the sides, and the rest of the folks behind at Tuvok station. So I have to say, I am extremely grateful, because she actually made the cast photo for us. You know,
she is amazing. So I remember when we went on the cruise, Marina, you remember this, right?
Yeah.
It was like she was doing photo ops and panels like
nonstop,
sun up to sun down. And we were like the fans, you know, people like Marina and me, Voyagers, like the thing. We're like, is she okay? Is she going to be able to make it?
It does get intense. I actually, okay, I cannot say the exact number because it skips it, but I tried to actually take a look at how many photos that she had to do over this two days that she was at destination, Saturday and Sunday. And it's, I think it's over 1,100. Definitely over 1,000, because it was basically, she was doing, I think there were two sessions, just herself, her on the bridge with the cast, and her with the cast in the photo booth. So there were multiple photo ops. You add all of them up, it's over 1,000 photos. Can you believe this? So that was...
Even intense. I can't smile that long.
Yeah. but, you know, besides Kay, you have to give it out to Discovery Cast, because they were an absolute, absolute delight, every single one of them.
Brilliant.
I mean, you already mentioned David. David is just a sweetheart, but you look at everyone else. Wilson was such a delight, and Mary and Noah were there. And you know, God, I love Noah. He's the most incredible fun guy.
Noah gave me a big hug. I'll finish it. He just gave me a big hug. He knows me from Twitter as well. He follows me, and he's like,
"Oh, he said, that is great."
He gave me a hug. We sort of keep our distance. He just gave me a big hug. I thought, my God, it's so Noah's great.
The newer family members, they are very friendly. Like, you know, ever since Discovery's come out, that whole gang that is coming up behind them, I don't know if it's they just not been in it long enough, but like every time that they're around, the energy is just so exciting. Yeah. And they really love interacting with the fans. And even with the pandemic, I see them interacting with the fans not different.
They're marvelous. They're marvelous with the fans. And they've got such a special bond as well. They've got such a bond with each other as well. The cast, they're so close to each other. They've got such a good
You've noticed that they've been playing D&D because it's a thing that they actually do outside, you know, like as friends, you know, like they you know, just for fun. So it's become a wonderful part of conventions now that they actually play D&D live. That was fun. Did you see this? This was hilarious. My God,
no, I missed that. Did you see that? I didn't see that one. No,
I only caught a part of it because I had something else that I had to run out. I think I had a photo op, but I caught a part of it and it just it's hilarious. You have to check it out next time they do. Speaking of Noah, I got the wonderful photo. It's a behind the scenes. So it's him made up as Rin, as the Andorian, and with Mary. And she's dressed up as Tilly, but obviously, you know, they're standing just hugging each other. It was taken after they were done filming. And I'm like, well, that's a great photo. I'm going to have it signed. Unfortunately, I was not able to catch Mary because every time that she was at the table, I had something else going on. And then I'll catch her at the different convention, I hope. But Noah was there and he said, well, do you want me to personalize it or write something? And I said, well, we just generally had a chat about his Twitch TV channel, which I follow, and check it out. It's delightful and funny, and he does he plays like old Star Trek video games, or sometimes he reads out loud out of, you know, like different books. So we chatted about like that experience, and I said, well, you know, just write whatever you feel like it, you know, because, you know, he's a fan himself.
He's a huge fan.
So you'll never guess what he did. There is, speaking of Twitch, during one of the live streams, he was interrupted by Mary because apparently there was a big bug in the kitchen and he had to go and deal with it. So we chatted about it because it's part of the fun that it is, you know, when you watch his live streams on Twitch, for example. So he drew me a little bug on my photo, and then I have to get Mary to sign it with like with my savior or something, just something fun. I did a lot of photos. I am actually surprised that the photo ops, like you mentioned, you did mostly photo ops. I barely had any autographing. I had captains, which I have to admit, considering everything that was, you know, again, Voyager reunion did not happen. So for all the stuff that I kind of expected I'm going to be doing at the convention, I have to admit that this was a bit too much and, you know, for the money, not really worth it. Mm-hmm. But it did give me the opportunity to pick up some autographs that were included as part of the part of this particular ticket package. And that whole thing, when you actually do go up to front of the line for photo ops and for sitting in the theaters, because again, reminder, the destination, you know, for those folks who have never been, destination is set up a little bit more like a Comic-Con. So, you know, like it's the equivalent of having the VIP at a Comic-Con, that when you have the reserved but not guaranteed seat at the front, it's this sort of thing that destination has, where you can go up to the front. If you're not there early enough, somebody else will take your place and then you just take whatever, which did happen. That was too late for the TNG panel. So I was sitting all the way in the back. But perfectly fine. I mean, you could still hear everything, not so much see. Again, you don't remember, there were only four lights on each side. So captains was not worth it, but it was nice to pick up like some additional things, including some very nice swag, I have to say. This is something that folks, organizers of conventions who offer VIP, need to put a little bit more thought into, because not everybody had the same thing. Rashid, have you ever done a package, or have you done only general admission at DST?
I've just done the general 3-day ticket, which I've got for 3 days.
All DSTs that you went to?
All three conventions so far. And also I've been to two Comic Cons, London Comic Cons as well. Mm-hmm. That's just for a day only. I have to try the commander and the captain's package once. I've got to try once.
Yeah, maybe. I have to say that based on just generally, you know, those who I know who go to Destination regularly, they all seem to agree that it's between Lieutenant and Commander seems to be the most worth it in terms of like my, you know, value, what you get for the ticket. But generally speaking, my first Destination, I did general admission and I was very happy with it because it did provide quite a bit of flexibility, because those panels that I really wanted to attend, you know, the ones that are paid talks, which is the main theater, the enterprise stage talks, I just picked what I needed. And those are the ones that I got to. So yes, I was not sitting at the front. Visibility was very poor. And again, we already mentioned acoustics. But at least, you know, it was just, you know, just the stuff that I actually needed. Whereas, you know, in this case, Captains basically covered the entire convention. So every single panel. And obviously you cannot cover everything. You have three things happening at the same time, plus the follow-ups and autographs. So it kind of becomes sort of like, well, I missed out on pretty much, you know, half of Sunday panels because I was doing something else. And yeah, so general admission is actually very nice for Destination, I feel.
I like it. It gives you more freedom. I agree. It gives you more freedom as well. And I prefer it. And I like talking to people in the long queue. I like, you know, when you land in line up for the photo op as well. Rather it takes you time to get to your turn. And you can talk to other people in the line, you know, get to know them as well. I feel that's another last part of, you know, having the general ticket, you know, because obviously it's nice to talk to other Trekkies, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I love it. Absolutely love that.
Now they offer this is actually something that was neither the cruise nor SCLV have. There are additional types of photo ops, which are the green screen and bridge chair photo ops.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's a bit of a fun. My sister and I had unexpected hilarious photo op that came out of it, because we couldn't quite get our heads around what exactly we were doing, because you're literally standing in front of the green screen and the person taking the photo tells you, okay, and look this way. There was a little red cross on the side wall. That's where you were supposed to look, so that the line, the sight line is aligned with whatever.
Yeah.
And then they said, okay, you just look there. They took a picture and then said, and now point. And we pointed. And then when the picture came out, it looked like that internet meme, you know, like we have like a William Shatner as Kirk, kind of like with hands up, and it's like, you know, look squirrel, look William Shatner. So we're literally pointing at Captain Kirk in that photo, and I'm like, we look like did you do any of the bridge? Well, they only offered one. They only had the Discovery, I think, bridge chair.
Roger.
Yeah, did you do any of the special photo ops?
I just did the Voyager with the Voyager cast on the Voyager. Today. That was great. I was sitting with Kate at the front with everyone at the back as well. And I love my picture with the Voyager cast. And also my picture with Kate was brilliant as well. I love my picture with Kate. So it's something I'll treasure for a long time.
That was an interesting experience. When you, Jesse, you've seen the TNG bridge. You guys actually, you and your British posse, you did a wonderful photo op, as I recall, all together on it. If you remember, that one was fairly sizable. Yes, up close, you could see, you know, bits and pieces of duct tape and other things holding it together. But it kind of like, it was fairly expensive. Voyager Bridge was smaller and somewhat, I'm trying to come up with the word, that it was less. It was not exactly, I think, based on what I, you know, the chatter that you see in the fan groups, some of the folks were taken aback because they were like, well, the chairs are all wrong, because they actually used, you know, a barbershop type chair. Once everybody was seated or standing, it kind of was hiding all the ugly bits, and it photographed fairly well, even though it was a little bit dark. So it was an interesting thing. On one hand, you get this photo, and I did the same thing. I got the photo with Kate. I'm sitting in Chakotay's seat, and Kate and I are looking great. So on one hand, this is fun. On the other hand, you kind of look at it like, maybe something else could have been done a little bit better. I don't know.
So we were looking at pictures as it was going on, and I did, you just mentioned it, but I'm like, those look like barbershop chairs.
Yes. And it's literally like, I don't say you don't see the bottom on the photos, but it's that round thing, you know, like a typical round bottom of the chair that you actually see in like, you know, barbershops and
yeah.
at the hairdressers. So You know, I almost feel like, you know, this particular convention, it's like we did this and that, and we met, and, you know, the guest was great and the panel Q&A was interesting, but it always gets accompanied with but. So it's a convention of mitigation, I feel, because I was like, it was great. We had a wonderful weekend. I'm glad I got to see, oh gosh, I don't know, 20, 30 people that I know, some like Rashid, that's the first time we actually met in person, even though we've been friends online for a while. But at the same time, there was like all this other things happening, which not really, like I always try to have fun at the conventions. You know, again, you manage expectations the best you can, but things still happen. So in my case, because all these additional things kind of pile up, you know, like with the travel requirements and, you know, again, I'm a little bit more accustomed to the way Comic-Cons around here rather than, you know, this, like I said, this wall of sound was driving me nuts, I have to admit. So I'm not sure I'm going to be coming back, I have to say, you know, even though, again, I had a wonderful weekend with my friends and with Kate and with my sister. I mean, we basically hung out wonderfully after the convention hours together. But there has to be either something really, really extraordinary going on, or I'm already in London, perhaps, then I might swing it. But specifically, I'm probably going to be skipping destination, I have to admit.
So I remember leading up to it, you had some concerns over how they're handling, like, who's coming and who's not, because they had some cancellations that the actors said they weren't going, but Destination didn't announce it. How did that work out when you got there?
Well, it continued. That was part of the problem. And despite what they were trying to spin online, bottom line is it was a known fact that specific actors, it was a public knowledge that they were not traveling. And that's yet right. The tickets were continued being sold. And the powers that be, the hosts, said that it was either misunderstanding or somebody else screwed up, like an agent, or whereas it was like, well, that's patently not what's known as a fact. when we got there, some of the stuff was similar, which brings up the thing that I mentioned earlier, the issue with the plexiglass screen at the photo ops. Now, conventions came back live in middle of summer. So plenty of events have already happened and kind of showed the world, you know, what works, what doesn't work, how you can arrange it so you can do photo op safely. And yes, perhaps you're not 100% happy because you can't put your hand around the guest, but you can still get a nice photo. As a matter of fact, you know, some of the guests were starting to have fun with photos, you know, across the different Comic-Cons, you know, use it as a prop. And we've seen some delightful photo ops that come out.
Yeah, it's been really good to see.
Yeah. So in this case, the Friday we show up and there's nothing in photo booths. It's just a regular background, you know, same thing as you see had there been no pandemic. And it becomes a bit of an issue because some of the guests are not willing to just stand there. So you get this, you know, the staff member, whoever's handling the particular photo booth, basically, you know, going across this little snaking line and saying, okay, the guest is going to be masked. Please do not touch them. Please do not stand next to them. Okay. You go to the next photo booth and they're going to say the guest is not going to be wearing a mask, but you still cannot touch them. You still cannot stand next to them. You go out to the next one and they're like, the guest is going to be wearing a mask, but you can actually, you know, well, not touch them, but you can stand next to them. So it was like this thing, there was no cohesive policy in terms of who was doing what. They were following what the actors were, the guests were asking, whether they were comfortable with. And it was not known beforehand. You knew that once you joined the queue. So if you remember in STLV, they actually had a listing before you could buy tickets where it said, you know, who's doing, you know, like, is that going to be a screen? Is that going to be what? DST did not have this. So you literally, you would go up nothing, you know, like all of a sudden you discover that on Friday, Wilson Cruz was wearing masks. So yes, I was standing next to him. It's a delightful thing. You can see that he's smiling. but bottom line is he's wearing a mask. Now Saturday came and I know that it was Kate's requirement to have the screen. They installed the screen. And what's more, someone came up with a pretty clever way to obscure the screen. They put a piece of black masking tape on the edge.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, Yeah, and remember, Rashid, and they put it against, and they put a black background, well, a dark background behind.
Right,
yeah. So that part, like, yes, the photo ops were coming out darker, obviously. There's a little bit more somber mood to the photo. But at the same time, it looked like a perfectly, it's like, it's in a, yeah. So you, I'm just literally, I'm standing, yeah. You cannot see the screen. And it kind of begged the questions, like, so what was this big problem that everybody was having, where obviously it worked? And then, of course, everybody else followed suit, and Wilson and Nana and everybody else who was taking pictures in masks. Or, you know, I have a photo op with Elizabeth Dennehy, and we're like 6 feet apart. I'm literally just sticking my head into the photo, into the shot. That's what my photo op looks like.
Hello. That's what disappointed me, especially on Friday, because Nana Visitor and Wilson Cruz both were, and Garrett Wong, all through the war. Wore mask on my photo shoot, and if they had the screen there like they had on Saturday and Sunday, then they didn't wear any mask the day after. Like Garrett Wong on Saturday and Sunday didn't wear a mask. He had the screen.
Yeah.
So where was that screen on Friday, for example? Because Nala as well, Wilson on the other days, they had the screen, they didn't wear a mask, you know. So I don't get it. Why wasn't that on there on Friday? So when I took my photos with them on Friday, all three of them wore a mask, which obviously I don't mind that, but if they had the option of the screen, the photo would be better with them with the screen between us, you know.
Yeah.
It would have been a better photo. So, and also the distance apart as well. Some of them were a bit ridiculous, like Martha Hackett. She's fantastic, not her fault, but the distance between me and Emily Coots and Martha Hackett was a bit too far apart, in my opinion. I mean, we could have been a bit closer, but whatever makes them comfortable. I'm just glad they were there. But I know, just a little nitpicking, but what really disappointed was the they're wearing a mask when they could have put a screen there instead. I would have preferred they had a screen there, you know, instead of the mask.
Yeah, God, right. Oh, incidentally, no, I was wondering if you heard anything. Now, destination, because they do have Instaprint technology, thankfully. So basically you go up, you have a picture taken, and they have like four or five printing machines. It spits out the photo immediately. Now, something to you know, for those who've never been, again, it sounds very reminiscent of a Comic-Con. The only difference is that it's a smaller photo. So, you know, it's best to actually buy a JPEG afterwards in case you want to have a proper, you know, like 8x10, a large format one. But still, you get the photo right away. And if you see that you blinked, that you made a weird face, that you didn't smile, you just don't like the photo for some reason, you actually can, you know, like you go up to a staff member and they take it away, they will tear it up, and they give you half of it, and you go back into the line, you hand it to the person instead of the ticket, and you do the photo again. So I'm actually curious, do you know anyone who might have come back, say, Saturday after having done a photo op with, say, Nana on Friday, and said, you know what, she's wearing a mask, you know, and I would love to have a normal photo where you can see everybody's face. Can I redo it? Did anyone do that? Because I decided that, you know, I had so much going on during that weekend, I literally had no time to even go and ask. So do you know if anyone's tried that?
Not as far as I know, but in hindsight, I wish I did that. But I had so much going on the next 2 days as well. I wish I did that. I wish I retook my photos with the ones with the masks on, you know, the next day. But hindsight's a great thing. I didn't realize that until actually I saw pictures on the online later on after the event finished. I saw pictures without any masks on, you know. I thought, how did that happen? I thought they were wearing masks. Then I realized the next Saturday and Sunday they had the screen between them. So I wasn't aware. If I knew on that during the weekend, I probably would have changed the photos, asked to take another one. But I didn't know they did that. So it's a shame, but.
Yeah, unfortunately. Let's see, what else did we... we wanted to talk about vendors a bit and the other thing. So it's something that I'm sure, Jesse, you remember, there was this whole area dedicated to gaming. So again, it's Comic-Con type thing. They still had it, and I saw that lots of folks were sitting down, and I think it was still the same thing, you know, people just having fun together. That was lovely. They still had that little... area dedicated for costume museum, and just like the convention itself, it was kind of shrunk a little bit. So it was probably, Rashid, would you say like half the size of what it was before? Because it had very limited costumes compared to 2018. Suppose 2018 was fairly sizable.
I agree. Yeah, I totally agree.
There was nothing new in terms of, you know, like how we had the special Discovery Museum, for example, with like brand new, you know, stuff that was basically was coming directly from CBS. there was nothing like that this time around. Vendors, again, vendor is definitely, that's one thing that that's heavily influenced by the pandemic. I mean, we've seen it at pretty much every convention, I think.
Yeah, we have the board cubicles still there,
Yeah.
We had a big board ship as well, take a picture next to.
But the vendor area was, it's interesting the way they did it. They sort of put it right in the middle of the floor, which I suppose made sense, you know, as people kind of circulating between the autographing area and the photo op area, you can't help but pass through the vendors. So it works well for everyone. Very limited. I didn't know, except for Eagle Moss, I don't think there was anyone else who's a licensed vendor. And speaking of Eagle Moss, I have to say, did you notice that there was a lot of ships? That was probably like pretty much every table you come up, and the first thing that you see would be the Eagle Moss models, even though like Eagle Moss is right right across with all their official stuff. Did you buy anything? Were you looking for any collectibles or anything like that? I just kind of cursorily just walked through just to see what they were offering, but I didn't buy anything.
No, I just looked around. I didn't buy anything either as well. I'm more like a photographs and just see my friends really. I did actually buy an autograph from David Ayala. Because when he said to me that he recognized me, he knew who I was. I wish I had more time to speak with him. Obviously, if I'm just rushing across, I don't really have time to talk to the actor. Really, they said to him, keep moving. So, but when I went to speak to him, he actually lost his voice because he went out partying with a cast, Discovery cast.
Well, this is different.
I barely hear him. He was like whispering to me. I said, "What's happened to your voice?" He's like, I went out last night with the cast. I think we overdid it. Oh my god! But it's still great. He said to, you know, to Rashid, "Lots of love." You know, he was a great autograph. That's the picture where he's got grudge on his shoulder. You know, the one with grudge on his shoulder.
Yeah, he's holding the grudge. Yes,
that's right, holding the grudge. Yeah, that's such a great picture. So he signed that with a gold pen. So, but I took one. But I didn't know the Eagle Moss models were brilliant,
I was very interested because they actually brought to show three new models. So those are still prototypes, I believe. So they had Voyager J, and everybody was wondering, like, how is it going to look like, considering that you have the nacelles that are not attached physically to the ship. So it was interesting to see. It was very nice. Something I have to point out, and that was part of the fun of, well, it's fun of any convention. I do enjoy watching what people are wearing. So the cosplayers, it was mostly, I'm going to say the majority as usual was uniforms, but it was very heartening because you literally had a very nice spread. You had folks wearing, you know what? Probably not so much Monster Maroons. I don't think I actually seen one, but you had everything else. You had the TNG costumes, you had Lower Decks, you had, Voyager, obviously. As a matter of fact, there was a lot of Voyager, obviously, because of, Voyager Reunion, in quotation marks, still being the theme of the event.
Yeah.
The funny ones were the ones where there was one lady who was dressed as G.I. Janeway. So it was Janeway the way she is in Macrovirus. Yeah. Wasn't that fun? It's brilliant. Great. That was great. And the other one that, that cracked me up. There was a lady, you know, like just looking at what she was dressed as, she was like, you wouldn't quite figure out who she was, but she had a sign hanging on at the front that said the deleted wife. Remember delete the wife from, yeah. And I'm sure she did the photo op with Fintan because it's just too perfect.
Genius. That's my friend. That's my friend, Zach. She's fantastic. She's always brilliant.
Hilarious.
That's like ingenious.
It's brilliant. So the cosplay was a lovely thing. People really, I just brought my usual Star Trek t-shirts
My friend Birgit from Germany, she dressed as a Queen Arachnia, you know.
Yes, I saw that. It was great.
She looked fantastic, didn't she? It looked incredible. Wow. I love cosplayers. Cosplayers make the convention so extra special. I love it so much. It's just brilliant.
Now, the one thing that definitely was hopping, I'm going to say, even though I did not get to attend as many meetups as I was hoping, well, whatever limited meetups that I was actually aware of based on, again, the invites and mentions that I saw in Facebook fan groups. But after hours, you know, it kind of continued. So it's you know, everybody has their own little atmosphere, their own thing, you know, that so after STLV, we all gather at Masquerade. After New York Comic Con, the local Trekkies always go out to the pub. And in this case, it was the same thing. Now, because this was no longer Birmingham, where the central was, the central location for gatherings was Hilton. Unfortunately, here everybody got spread out. There was Premier Inn, there was a Loft, there was a Doubletree. So folks were everywhere. But there were attempts made to kind of like, okay, we're having a get together at, you know, this particular hotel. Everybody come by, whoever wants to. So I'm aware of about three or four different gatherings. Did you get to go to any, Rashid, like meet up, or did you just hung out with your friends after you were done with the convention?
No, we just stuck to the convention. I didn't really go out anywhere else after the convention. We just met up at the convention. Obviously, mm-hmm. we went to the bar afterwards at the hotel we were in as well. Mm-hmm. That was a great fun as well, basically. But we mainly was at the convention. We didn't go anywhere else after that.
I got to, well, again, I did the same thing. Like my sister and I and our friends, we hung out a little bit after. So that was definitely something.
Did you go around London as well, Marina, you know, Olga? Around London before you came to the convention? You had to look around London?
We didn't go, again, we've been to London many times before. So we just decided, like, the last time, the last time I was in London was in 2013, I think.
Okay.
The last time she and I were together was probably 2009. So even, oh God, we'll come 12 years ago. So we decided, like, we don't have much time. So we did decide we arrived on Thursday. So we would just, again, because we took the earlier flight, suddenly we had extra time. So we actually went back to the central area. We missed the parade by like half an hour. It was November 11th. Yeah. So it was unfortunate. So we saw all the, you know, the older gentlemen and ladies, you know, all with the medals and everything already getting, you know, leaving the Parliament Square. But we decided, like, well, we haven't been to Westminster Abbey in a while, and it's one of our favorite landmarks. So we did check it out, especially the new Queen Galleries, the ones at the Triforium at the top. So that was delightful. And then we literally took a bus tour, if you believe it. I mean, we already know everything, but we're like, well, let's just familiarize ourselves with the city. And right. I have to tell you, I'm like, even though 12 years passed, I didn't forget anything. So all in all, the bus tour turned out to be completely useless. but at least we got to sort of like, you know, take in the sights, because everything was decorated rather lovely for the Remembrance Day. Generally speaking, that's actually something to bring up. We're not really next to anything when you're in that particular location for the convention. So no, you can hang out in the bar at the whichever hotel that you're staying in or restaurant. There are a couple. There's a wonderful pub. I really enjoyed it. I was there twice during that weekend. Okay. The Fox. It's on the eastern side. Definitely. I mean, next year convention is again going to be in London XL. So right. It's certainly a spot to be aware of. Very nice atmosphere. Very nice.
I'm going to book my hotel. I'm going next year definitely. I already booked my hotel already.
Yeah. So it's called The Fox. Very nice. But generally speaking, yeah, there is nothing else in the area that you can like, oh, why don't we go? You have to actually, you know, either hire an Uber or get on the tube in order to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's that. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that I wanted to bring up? Any last minute thoughts?
No, like looking at my list of stuff and you hit everything. I was really curious about the vendor area, because you know, it was when I went the last time, it was such a mix. Like it wasn't a lot of like licensed stuff. It was, you know, a lot of like Etsy type stuff. And then they had the fudge people there, which is what I bought the most of.
But if you remember that it was still a very sizable area. So if you probably think, you know, a third to a half of it, that's what it was this time around. It was very limited. Part of the vendor area was actually like a small exhibition. You had, I do not know to whom it belongs. It belongs to a convention host perhaps. But basically it was either artwork or it was actually you know how sometimes you can get a blueprint of something. In this case, it was like a selection of blueprints from various episodes of Deep Space Nine. So that was kind of neat just to take a look at, because that's the real thing. You know, it was all framed and behind glass because it was, you know, an actual set use thing. But other than that, you know, I walked around. I was kind of hoping to see. Sometimes you can come across the toys that, you know, they were specifically produced in UK. I kind of regret in 2018, I came across a couple like this, and I decided not to do it because I had very limited space in my luggage. And I'm still beating myself up because those were like, I haven't seen it anywhere since. I think it was specifically, you know, something released, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, specifically in UK, and you can't really find it anywhere else now.
I still have my DST cup that I got there, and then my Nebula coffee.
Oh, as well, yes, the DS9 documentary, yes.
Yeah,
We love. That's my favorite mug, actually, Jesse, What We Left Behind mug for the DS9 documentary. I love that mug. Yeah, it's very special to me.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of documentaries, because it's the same crew, Voyager documentary people were there. So it was wonderful to see Lalita and David Zappone. And, well, of course, Garrett was participating because he's part of the production. And so that was actually very neat. I did miss out on their panel, unfortunately. I had a conflict. I was lining up for a photo op. So that was an unfortunate thing, because I really wanted to catch up. I did get to catch up later on in the aforementioned Fox. They were having a get together with I think it was one of the perks for the Indiegogo campaign.
Okay.
I was basically, I was already there, so that was very nice, you know, to just see everyone, say hello. Well, I think we actually did cover everything. It was again great to see everyone. So last minute thoughts. I mean, Rashid, you and I already kind of covered just that we enjoyed, even, you know, despite certain things.
It was a great weekend, and I'm glad we finally met Marina. We met him.
Yes.
I'm so happy we met now. That was a great moment.
That's the best. And the thing is that, like, you know, you're kind of in touch on social media, and then you meet the person in person, and it's as if you actually have met before. It just does not seem weird to be finally, I'm like, okay, you have legs, you know, you actually a 3D person. Did you already buy the tickets for next year? I don't know if they're already on sale or not.
Yeah, they are, yes. I haven't bought the tickets yet, but obviously a lot of the photos from this year have been transferred to next year now. Like, for example, Robert Bertrand, Tim Russ, mm-hmm. a lot of the Voyager cast photos been transferred to next year's Destination Star Trek now.
Let's hope that it works, because I'm not quite sure how, you know, like, there's obviously no guarantee attached. Nobody can say for sure what's going to be happening next year.
I know, exactly. But then that's what they said to us, that any photos that hasn't been able to be taken this time now will just be transferred to next year now. But we've got a refund for some of them, but some of them has been transferred. But I already booked my hotel for three days for next year, so I can't wait to go again. And I haven't decided if you get the commander pack or the lieutenant pack, but I'll decide nearer the time. But it was a great 3 days. And obviously, I'm glad I met you and also all my other friends and all the cast. It was a fabulous weekend. I'm really glad I went, and I look forward to next year. So, and thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for joining us. So as far as I'm concerned, again, I enjoyed my weekend. I spent wonderful time with my sister. I had tremendous time with my friends.
Great to be over as well. Great to be over.
Thank you. I will make sure to tell her that. I think she was a little bit, she did not quite expect that, you know, I'm going to be bumping into so many familiar people. She was like, how do you know? I'm like, it's wonders of internet. again, for me personally, Kate certainly made the convention. She was incredible. But again, with everything, you know, all the pluses and minuses, and, you know, I have to be realistic. Unless I'm already in London or, you know, something extraordinary is going on, I'm probably going to be skipping. I mean, we have a lot of stuff happening next year in the US. Again, I'm actually sitting here with my fingers crossed. You cannot see me, but I am. starting with the cruise, which we're less than 3 months away, and with all the new variants popping up, I'm just hopeful that nothing happens. Yeah, Jesse and I have big plans.
Jesse goes as well. That's good.
I have been on every cruise, every Star Trek cruise since they started, since ECP.
Oh, Jesse, that's fantastic.
So this will be my sixth Star Trek cruise.
Yes.
I'm so jealous. Well, I'm still waiting for my first one, so hopefully I can join you one day.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Jesse's the cruiser extraordinaire. basically, no, seriously, if I have questions, you know, it's Jesse that, as far as the cruise is concerned, Jesse's your man.
Yeah, and they better not try to stop it with these variants, because I will jump that ship and just take it off.
we're going to be recording a separate discussion about this, because it's going to be an interesting experience, I think. I mean, with all the additional things again, but we'll see how it all works out. And of course, we have the new official convention that's going to be held in Chicago next year in April. The Star Trek Mission Chicago. We still have Vegas. We still have other conventions.
Absolutely.
I envy the United States. Yeah. I wish there was a transporter so folks from all over the world could experience that.
Beam me over, please.
Yes.
My wallet wishes there weren't so much going on in the States.
Those folks who are thinking about going to destination, it is a different experience. That's what it is. You know, it's worth trying out. At this point, I'm getting close to 100 conventions in my pocket. So perhaps I am getting slightly jaded and perhaps a bit more picky.
You're remarkable, Marie.
You're far too kind, Rashid. Thank you. But bottom line is that, you know, I have to admit, had there not been a Voyager reunion, I might not have even considered perhaps 2020. 2020 was supposed to be such a full year between the cruise and Vegas and other things. It worked out the way it worked out. Let's see what the future brings. Those folks who are wondering about anything, I certainly recommend there are several very good fan groups online, specifically the unofficial Destination Star Trek, very helpful. So join the group, ask the questions. It's sort of similar to what we have with the unofficial, former unofficial STLV group. Ask questions if you need anything. Certainly, our group now covers not only Vegas but other events. So certainly there will be members who are knowledgeable. And by our group, I mean the formerly unofficial STLV, now it's called the Star Trek Convention Experiences Group. I guess that's really covers most of the stuff that we wanted to bring up, right, Jesse?
Yep.
All right. So the usual last bit of business. Rashid, where can people find you online?
You can find me at RashidUzzaman82 on Twitter. That's what I'm mainly on. So come and say hello. And thanks again for inviting me. I had a great, enjoyed this chat very much. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Marina.
Thank you. And Jesse, where can people find you online?
I am one of the administrators of the Star Trek Conventions Experience Group, whatever we call it now.
It's not as long. Come on.
And I'm at Outrageous Okendo. That's OutRageousOkendo on Twitter and Insta.
All right. And you can find me also on Facebook and Twitter. My full name on Facebook. I'm also part of the admin team for the Star Trek Convention Experiences Group. And I'm at Drakorex on Twitter and Instagram, Drakkorex. And of course, Shoreleaf, you can find us on Facebook under a very, very long name, Shoreleaf, your Star Trek Convention Community Podcast, and at Shoreleaf on Twitter. Let's see. Pretty much that's it. We covered everything that we wanted to cover. Huge thanks to our Patreon supporters. Shoreleaf is part of the Trekwater Transmissions Network. If you enjoy what we do here or on any of our sister shows, do consider joining Patreon, which you can find on patreon.com/TheTrekwaterTransmissions. Or you can find us on our webpage, which is the TrekwaterTransmissions.com, and you can click a Patreon link and find all the information there. Again, thank you to all our listeners. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Rashid, thank you very much for joining us. This was a lovely discussion. It was wonderful to meet you in person, to hear about your experiences, and keep tracking, everyone.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Thank you. Bye-bye now.